If you have your Bibles, let's open them to John chapter 20 and verse 21. I would like to just for a few moments go over the plan that God has for every church as far as missions. And it's a tremendous thing that Worth is having several teams go out this summer. And I praise the Lord that one team's going down to McAllen and hopefully Melissa will make it back down there. I don't know. But pray for her. She's sick. But thank the Lord for each and every one of the groups that are going to the different parts of the world to serve Christ in missions. And in John chapter 20, verse 21, we have a custom in our churches in Latin America to stand when we read God's word. So why don't we do that tonight? Just pretend you're on the mission field tonight. Amen. Except there's air conditioning and not flies and heat and you're fanning yourself. So be thankful for that. Amen. Let's read John chapter 20, verse 21 all together. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." It's a joy to have Sherry Glaze, Michelle's second sister. Michelle's the oldest, then Sherry, and then Wendy Solomon, who are also missionaries in Colombia. Well, it used to be Colombia, but now it's in Chile. No, Argentina or Chile? It's Chile. It's Chile. Whenever you eat chilies, just remember them. And I'm glad that they're here tonight, too. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your many blessings. And thank you for the blessing it is to just serve you. It's an honor and a privilege to be able to preach. Lord, as long as you give me breath, help me to preach and preach your word. Help us as we look into your word tonight and help us as we leave this place tonight to remember, because I'm sure Worth Baptist Church knows everything that we're going to preach, but just to be reminded of what our obligation is to this world. And Lord, if you'll see fit to call somebody to the mission field tonight, if you will save someone's soul, we'll give you the honor and the glory for it all. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Oswald J. Smith once said, "If the gospel is the most important thing, then why aren't we spending more money on it?" And think about that. We spend a lot of money on a lot of things, but we should keep, and I'm glad Worth Baptist Church is keeping, the first things first. I want you to notice several things, and I'm usually going backwards in life, so we'll start with John and we'll end up in Matthew. And we'll see four passages of Scripture where Christ gives the Great Commission. He gives it different every time. But I think every time he gives it, he enlightens us to what we should do. First of all, notice John chapter 20 and verse 21. He sends us, "As the Father hath sent me." That's his authority. He's sending us in God's name. "As the Father hath sent me, so send I you." And he sends us with his peace. "Peace be unto you." He sends us with his presence in verse 22. And he said, after he said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." And then he sends us with his power in verse 23. "Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." And by the way, that's the power that you and I have in preaching the gospel or not preaching the gospel. Because when we preach the gospel, it is the power of God unto salvation to all that believe. Amen. But when we do not preach the gospel, we restrain from preaching the gospel, we're actually preventing people the opportunity of being saved. My father-in-law was a tremendous missionary in Colombia. And he went to Bible school and then he left Bible school without finishing. Then 10 years later, he went back and finished. And people were rejoicing with him that he had finished Bible school and that he was going to Colombia. And in fact, he opened up Colombia to modern missions because When he went, you could not get in as a missionary. He went in as a helper in an orfanatorio. Thank you. Whatever y'all said, that's what it is. What is it, honey? Orphanage. Okay. Oh, it sounds just about the same. I preach in English with a translator. But anyways, he went in as a helper in an orphanage, and then later on he established a church, and through that church, missions exploded in Colombia. And they were so happy that he went. But one of the things, the testimonies that he had was, I thank the Lord, I did finally go back, and I did go do what God wanted me to do, but how about all those 10 years that I didn't do what I should have done? How many souls went into hell because I did not obey those 10 years? And you think about your own life tonight. God has sent us. And whether it's across the street or across the sea, we're all missionaries. What are you doing for heaven's sake? What are you doing for souls? So God sends us. Then if you'll go with me to Luke chapter 24, God tells us where to start, and he also tells us what to share. Luke chapter 23 and verse 47. Luke 24, excuse me, verse 47. Luke 24 and verse 47. First of all, he tells us to go. Then he tells us what to share, and he tells us where to start. Look in verse 47. And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name. Hey, that's what we should be sharing. We should be sharing that people should repent of their sins, repent towards God, and put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to put a verse of scripture beside that, it's Acts chapter 20, verse 21. Repentance towards God. And that is what it is. We live in a day when there's a lot of easy believism. I remember when we first started our work in McAllen, a man, we were visiting, and he said, I don't know why it takes y'all so long to win souls. I just go up to somebody and say, hey, you want to go to heaven? And he said, yeah, well, just pray, do this prayer and you're going to heaven. And no explanation of sin, no explanation of the wages of sin, no explanation that we're already damned to go to hell if you do not know Christ as your Savior. And no explanation that if he trusts the Lord Jesus Christ and only him as his Savior, can he be saved. There are people that will admit they're sinners. Some others will admit that they're going to hell. But very few will admit that only Jesus Christ can save them. If you go to a Hindu nation or a Hindu person, a lot of them think that you present Jesus, and yes, they'll accept Jesus as one of their other gods, because they have many gods. And they've got to understand, it doesn't matter if they're a Catholic or Hindu or Buddhist. It doesn't matter what religion they are. They've got to realize that only Jesus Christ can save. There's one God and one mediator between God and man. It's the man Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, it's not the Baptist religion. It is not being baptized. It is not being good. But the Lord Jesus Christ. He tells us what to preach. I think that a lot of times we've gotten away from preaching the simple gospel. And by the way, the whole gospel is that Jesus died for our sins according to the Scripture. He was buried, and he rose again the third day, according to the Scripture. And that's what we need to get back to preaching. That's what we need to preach across the street and across the seas, anywhere we go. We need to preach Jesus Christ as our Savior. I was telling Pastor that this morning, in a small church in East Texas, I saw a young man that the last time I was there, I had won to the Lord 10 years ago. And it was a privilege. He was a lot taller now. But it was a privilege to see someone, and I didn't even recognize him. But the pastor said, do you remember this young man? I said, no, sir. He said, you won him to the Lord the last time you were here. The last time I was there, it was 2012. And praise the Lord for that. And that's what we need to do. We have the right authority to preach in his name. We have the preaching of repentance and remission of sin. But he tells us where to start in this verse of scripture. Look in verse 47 again. And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You have to have a starting point. You've got to, you want to go someplace, but you have to have a starting point. If you go to Google in your little computer that you carry around that we call a phone, it's really a computer. You say, Google, I want to go to, like I did this morning, Grand Saline. That's where it was, brother, Grand Saline. Wanted to go to Grand Saline, Texas. And I Googled it. I Googled it last night, and it said 2 hours and a half. But I Googled it this morning, and it just said an hour and a half. I guess because of traffic. And, I was so glad. But we still got up too early. But we got there early. But we had a good time. But you have to have a starting from where to be able to get to Grand Saline. And our starting point is our Jerusalem. If you belong to Worth Baptist Church, your starting point is where you live. In your barrio, in your vecindad, in your area that you live in. Colonia. I don't know how you say those things in English. Neighborhood. Amen. Thank you. That's where you start. You start where you go to school. You start where you go to work. You start where you are. It is no use for you to tell me God's called me to Mexico or God's called me to Uruguay or some other country if you're not willing to go across the street. If you're not willing to tell your neighbors about Jesus Christ. So he tells us in John, I'm sending you. In Luke, he tells us what to preach. And then he tells us where to start. But that's not our ending point. He also tells us in all nations, but I want us to go to Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. We're going backwards. I'm usually going backwards anyways. So that's common for me. When they told me in the driver's test in Mexico that I'd have to drive backwards on a curb and park, I said, that's nothing. It's forward and I have problems. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, most of us know it. Y les dijo, id por todo el mundo y predicad el evangelio a toda criatura. I'll have to read it. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Hey, where should we end? To all the world. What does that mean? That means, folks, that we haven't finished our task until every nation has the gospel. Until every people group in that nation has the gospel. And until there is no other inhabitant in the world. I want you to go with me to Isaiah chapter 6. I preached out of Isaiah 6 this morning. And Isaiah chapter 6 tells us something very interesting. Look in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 11. God calls Isaiah. Of course, he had an upward look. And he saw the holiness of God. Then he had an inward look, and he saw the sinfulness of man. And once he saw his sinfulness, he repented, he was saved, and then he had an outward look. It's a joy to win somebody to Christ, and when they finish their prayer, say, Brother Jones, my father needs Christ too. That is the most wonderful experience, because you know they've had the experience of being born again. And then God tells Isaiah, you're going to go to a people that nobody's going to get saved. Can you imagine if God called you to a place? Who was it? David Livingston was in his mission field 7 years before one soul was saved. I wonder how many churches would have dropped him because of his prayer letters. Folks, nobody's saved yet, but we're working on it. Amen. But after that, thousands and thousands of people were saved. Folks, look at verse 11. Then said I, Lord, how long? How long do I preach, Lord? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. Wow. Hey, we should go to the whole world, and until we go to the whole world and there's no inhabitants, then we can sit down and say, I've finished. But as long as there's one person alive, we must go. My dad told me one time when I told him about what they were teaching me in school about limited atonement. And I said, Dad, this is what they're teaching me in school. And he said, no, sir. He said, if that were true, Jesus would have had to only prick his finger if only one soul was going to get saved. No, it's not limited. He'd had to drain all of his blood just like he did for just for one sinner that gets saved, because he had to pay the price, the ultimate price, before a just and holy God. So you see, God tells us to go. He tells us where to start, what to preach, and then he tells us where to finish. Hey, Worth Baptist, we haven't finished yet. And it doesn't matter how many missionaries you have, until we reach every country, every people group, and until there be no inhabitants on the earth, we have not finished our job. It's an ongoing job, isn't it? It's a tremendous task, but we can do it. Then I want you to notice the last thing in Matthew chapter 28. God sketches out a plan that we must follow. Now, he's already told us what to preach, but in Matthew chapter 28, he sketches out a plan that you and I must use when we win those souls to Christ. Look in verse 16, Matthew 28, 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. I want to stop there just a second. God is not too concerned if you doubt. If not, Jesus would have addressed their doubts. He didn't. He addressed the fountain of taking care of our doubts. He said, all power is given unto me. Isn't that great? Then when you and I doubt. Brother Danny, have you ever doubted? Oh, I've doubted a lot of things. I've doubted, should I really go to this house? I've doubted sometimes if someone really got saved or not. You and I have been there. But to be able to dissuade our doubt, we must go to the fountain of our faith. And Jesus said, and Jesus came and spake unto them, why are you doubting? No, he says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. In other words, your doubts aren't that important. It's who you're serving is important. Who's the one that you're obeying? I'm going because you told me to go. I've started where I am living. I am reaching out to the uttermost part of the world through our missionaries. I am preaching repentance and remission of sins. And Jesus says, hey, even if you doubt, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye. Keep on going. Even if you have a doubt, even if you wonder if it's really worth it all, I can spend time knocking on doors. I can knock on three blocks of doors, and maybe two people will answer the door. Maybe two. Most of them yell at you through this little camera that they got on the door. Don't want any. Go away. I wonder when the judgment comes if that's going to be played back to them. And I can have five people respond, and out of those five people, and that's several other blocks down, one of them will listen. to a gospel message. And out of four that listen, one will get saved. That's been my average. And sometimes I doubt, Brother Weber. I say, is it worth it? But then I get up on Sunday morning, and here comes a family. Nobody invited. Proverbs 11:24 says, there is that scattereth, yet increaseth. You knock on doors and you put in a flyer or a track and no one answers and no one cares and you wonder and you doubt. But God will give the increase somewhere else. Amen. And the problem is that we tend to think in a very Western way, if we're not progressing, if I can't see a progress, I need to back up and do it another way. Well, Jesus said to go out two by two. Amen. And we're still doing it. And I want to encourage you to do it. Just obey God. Even if you doubt. Because He has all power. And it's an amazing thing. We'll see that happen time and time and again. We'll spend all day and 10 of us will go out visiting and we'll come back all sweaty and bitten by mosquitoes. And boy, we got mosquitoes down there. Take off, those of you that are going. Take some off. And not take off, you know, take off. Spray yourself. But anyways, and we come back and some of our people will say, Brother Jones, this is fruitless. I said, just let's keep on going. And next Sunday, a family that nobody asked to come, nobody contacted, nobody gave them a track, comes walking in. Sometimes there's some people that come and say, we found this track on our door. Is this the place? Yes, this is the place. Even if it has another direction, this is our place. Amen. Address, I should say in English. Okay. Hey, God sketched out the plan. What do we do once we preach to them and win them to Christ? Well, look at verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That word teach is making a disciple out of them. And you make a disciple out of somebody. Hey, if you're just saved, the first step of discipleship is getting baptized. You ought to get baptized. Amen. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And then after you get baptized, you get taught. A preacher one time told me in Mexico, he said, Brother Jones, you're filling your church full of sinners. You're baptizing sinners. I said, they're saved sinners. By the way, you're a sinner too. He said, yeah, but in my church, we're going to be sanctified. I'm going to tell them to quit this and quit that and quit yonder and then get them baptized. That's what you ought to do. I said, that's not what Jesus did. You look at what Paul did in that chapter in Acts. The Philippian jailer. He was saved and that same night he was baptized and his family was saved too because all his family were baptized. You look at every time Cornelius. He was saved. Of course, Peter and his group didn't believe it, so they had to talk to them in Hebrew. And oh, can anybody prevent, I think that's the word in English, baptism on these people that have received the Holy Ghost just as we did? And you go through the Bible, and every time somebody gets saved, the first thing they do is get baptized. Why? That's the way Jesus taught us. And the sketch is you win someone to Christ, you baptize them, and then you teach them. You know why a lot of pastors don't want to do that? Because it's a lot of time that you have to spend with a newcomer. And you've got to spend time with them, and you've got to teach them how to leave off some things, and teach them how to take on some things. And that is work. And a lot of people want to avoid work. But God's plan always works. And take time with people. If you win someone to Christ, encourage them to get baptized. Not to get saved, not to get more saved. Baptism doesn't take the iniquities of our flesh away. Baptism is that first step of saying, God, I want to obey you. It's like, I always give this example, it's like my ring. This ring is just a symbol. If I take it off, I'm still married. Amen. I put it on. It's a testimony. I belong to somebody. And baptism is that symbol. You belong to a church. You belong to a family. And now you're going to start growing in the Lord. And all of us are growing, and some of us are in different stages. And I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you, keep growing in the Lord. Because God wants us to disciple other people. Baptizing them, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now, a lot of times we quote that promise, and that is where I want to conclude. A lot of times we quote that promise out of context. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. And somebody say, well, pray for me, I'm going so. Oh, the Lord said, I'm with you always. Wait a minute. Let's back up and remember when you got saved, Ephesians 3 says that by faith, the Lord Jesus Christ dwells in your heart. He's there forever. Through His Holy Spirit, He dwells in every one of our hearts. I'm glad I serve an omnipresent God. Amen. You read the history of the resurrection, and there is no way that Jesus could be here and yonder unless He was omnipresent. And when He rose again the third day, He rose again in His glorified body, and He could be anywhere at any time. Multi times, because He's my omnipresent God. He dwells in my heart. He dwells in your heart by faith. And so He's with me all everywhere I go. That's not what Matthew's talking about. Matthew is really talking about, and lo, I am for you. Now, how many of us already fight the devil, the flesh, and the world? Don't tack on God as one of your enemies. And if you want God to fight for you, you and I have to understand that we've got to meet that requirement of being a church that goes out and wins souls, brings them in, baptizes them, disciples them, teaches them. And that's the story that repeats itself time and time and again. And God is with us. For us. I really do believe that God's hand is on this church. God has been so great to Worth Baptist Church. Amen. Folks, I've never been ashamed of my church. I really mean that. Dr. Barber and I didn't always see eye to eye on a lot of things. And he reprimanded me a lot of times. Of course, I was green behind the ears, and I'm still green. But I'll tell you one thing. When I came to this church in 1975, we were on the old Wilbarger Street. I remember we were moving, and one of the deacons told me not to help anymore when I banged into one of the walls that was already nicely decorated. Danny, go help somewhere else. Brother, his name just slipped my mind. I'll think of it in a minute. But anyways, one of the men here, he and I helped bring a bunch of pianos over here on the back of the pickup truck, and we'd sing, and we'd plunk on that piano and sing and sing, and we had a good time. Dr. Barber, tremendous pastor, and then Dr. Weaver. I think Brother Weaver went to Mexico more than Dr. Barber did. And tremendous pastor. And now Brother Gillett. I hope Brother Gillett will come down and see us in McAllen, especially when we get that building ready. Amen. But you know what? We were just in a mission seminar where a missionary said, for 9 years, I didn't know if my pastor was for me or not. We've never had to say that here, Pastor. We praise the Lord for worth. I think God's hand is on this church. And if you want God's hand to remain on this church, you got to make sure, hey, let's keep winning souls, baptizing them, teaching them. And I am for you. Lo, I am for you, even unto the end. I'm glad he's for us. I have a lot of enemies already. I don't need God as my enemy. You don't need God as your enemy. So if you're here and you're saved, but you haven't been baptized, why don't you surrender to baptism? Put the ring on. Belong. Be a part of it. If you're saved and you're a member of the church and you haven't been as faithful as you should be, why don't you surrender today and say, God, I'm going to start where I am. That's where he wants us to start. Go. Start in your Jerusalem. You can't get to the ends of the world until you start at your point. There may be someone here today that God is calling. God is saying, hey, I want you to go. Will you be like Isaiah? Here am I. Send me. He might not send you where you want to go, but he wants to send you. I remember in 1974, I knew God wanted me to be a missionary. I was in another church and I was coming to the altar every service. Lord, where do you want me to go? Where do you want me to go? Where do you want me to go? And a deacon, a very wise deacon, came up and he said to me, Danny, why are you coming to the altar every service? I'm concerned. Do you have a problem? I said, yeah, I have a problem. God called me to be a missionary. He won't tell me what country. And he said something I never thought of before. He says, where do you not want to go? And I said, two places. You got to understand, I was raised in Mexico, and in Mexico at that time, at least in Monterrey, Mexico, northern Mexico, the brunt of every joke was Chinese. We didn't have any Chinese then. So they made everybody, every joke Chinese, because there's no joke, no Chinese there. By the way, there's no Chinese jokes now. We got so many Chinese now. So I had a inbred racism against Chinese. China. And where's the other place? Mexico. I already been there, done that. Want to go somewhere else. He said, Brother Danny, don't you think that God isn't willing to tell you where he wants you to go until you're willing to go anywhere? And that's when I broke down. I said, okay, God, I'm willing to go to China. And I'm willing to go to Mexico. And it wasn't a week later I knew it was Mexico. Where's God calling you? Let's all stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I left out one thing of the invitation that I think is the most important. If you're here tonight and you do not know that your sins have been paid for, you have never repented towards God, would you do that today? Would you come forward and take someone's hand and let someone guide you and let you know that you're saved? Someday, we're all going to die. And when death comes knocking at your door, will we be able to say at least he was saved? At least he knew Christ? Please trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Father, I pray that you'll take hold of the invitation. The pastor would lead it as he sees fit. God, use us. I want you to be for me. And so many times, I get my eyes off of what's important. You sending, telling me where to start, what to preach, where to go, and not to stop until everyone's heard. And then you tell me what to do when they have heard and when they have believed. You tell us everything, God. And yet sometimes we try to make it so complicated. Oh, Lord, touch my heart, our hearts. Use us for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name.